automate more, relax more, get paid with less effort than ever. Coming soon, D72. Make sure to visit foolishit.com for updates. Podnuts would like to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Hey everybody, welcome to Geeksters episode 109. As you can tell, I've got a great voice today, and so I'm fighting a bit of a cold. And so I think I'm just going to be here, introduce my good co-hosts, and I'll probably just sit back, relax with my tea here, and listen to these guys talk. But because my voice is probably not so good, and you probably don't want to hear me ramble on with my great Barry White voice. So we'll get moving over to Tim and Mitch. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good here.
You sound good.
You know, I mean, I'm on the mend too. It's been a couple of weeks long thing, and I don't know what it is. I just give up. I'm not going to speculate. Is it the weather? I don't know. Is it that time of year? Is it a conspiracy by international countries to infect us with this awful thing? All of the above, maybe. I don't know. It seems that if I'm not taking children to the doctor for some bronchial thing, it's for strep or it's this. And so I just decided that my children's education should just be put on hold for a few years while they sit at home sick. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. And so, and you know, with kids, they're sick for about 12 hours. They give it to you. You're sick for 12 days. So
yeah, we're not as young as we used to be.
No. And I find that every day I get older, so I give up.
Tell me.
Speaking of getting older, yesterday was my birthday, so I'm officially 38.
Are you really?
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you don't sound a day over 65.
I know. It's that I got to stop whatever I'm doing. My wife, actually, last night my wife did hint at me. She says, so which one of us here did not get the flu shot this year? Yeah, that's you. So I'm like, I know. I got
Your
it.
Wife is like 24, right?
Yes.
I've never had a flu shot, and I haven't had a cold. I'm telling you, I can't tell you the last time I've had a cold. It's been a long time.
But
I have everything else. I have sleep apnea, 100 pounds overweight.
Well, you know. Oh, man.
You're elite. You're like elite when it comes to illnesses. I mean,
my shoulder's been killing me. The one I had operated on 2 years ago.
Oh, my. Kill me, Mitch.
Oh, gosh. Oh, Mitch, you're the best.
Serious. I'm dead serious. I won't tell my wife. She'll just yell at me.
No, I got a buddy that he tells me his wife chases him around with a wire coat hanger. You guys ever get that?
No more wire coat hangers in this house.
They were gone. They've been removed.
Yes, because... Nah.
Oh, gosh.
No, my wife, she actually tells me she's retired, but she took a part-time job just to pay my doctor bills off. She tells me that.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. And now my dog is sick, my old dog, and he might have cancer. I'm not sure. He's got a tumor on his right leg, so I get that checked out next Tuesday. So a little worried about that because he's 13. He's 13 with a heart murmur.
Have a dog? Is it Mitch?
Schnoodle. It's like part poodle and schnauzer. Anyway, no sad stuff today. No sad stuff.
It's tech. Yeah. I mean, that's what we talk about.
Yeah, tech.
Tech is sad. It really is. Tech is sad.
No, tech is good. It can be sad. If somebody's hacking your money or Target or something, it can be real sad.
I'm thinking about throwing it all away and moving to West Virginia. Good on New River Gorge, West Virginia. You'll never see me again. I'm going to start working on my manifesto. Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, Martin is officially checked out.
I have some, well, do you remember last week I was talking about a buddy of mine? He got one of those deals with DSL and DirecTV and the phone service. Well, he went from Comcast, but what's the basic? I don't know, 20 down, and he has 3 down with his DSL. And he said at times it's really slow. He can't connect. So Friday after work, he's off on Friday. So Friday, I get off at 3:30 and I stop by his house. I had my laptop with me. So I connect after he realized, he had a book with all the passwords and everything. But of course he doesn't have his, wireless connection passphrase thing, which was of course underneath the router. And anyway, so I connect, and it's working fine. It's fine. And, you know, for three megabytes down, and everything YouTube, it's fine. Yeah. So I'm there a half hour. And then when I left later that night, he said it got really slow. And he constantly calls them, Verizon. And of course, he's speaking to somebody that does not speak very good English.
Tier one.
And yeah, so I'm telling him you need to get tier three or tier three help, threatening to go to the retention center. And he hasn't done that yet. But they constantly tell him there's nothing wrong, you know. And I told the guy, I told Danny how to use the command line and ping things. And, you know, when it's running bad, it's like it times out on there or whatever it says, we can't find host or whatever, or it's really, really high ping times. So I said, Danny, it's not you. And the last time he called, which was Monday night? They said to him that, you need to get security sensors off of there. It's interfering with your internet connection. So it's what? That's the slowest. I mean, that's probably the least resource.
Yeah.
Haul, you know, I think.
Very lightweight. Sensors.
Very lightweight. Exactly. And, so they're just giving the runaround. So what I might do Friday, maybe this Friday, I'm not sure. I'll come over to his house and he can call while I'm there, and I'll be on the other line and I'll talk to him. But he, you know, he's got that package deal. He can't get rid of it, you know, because he's locked in for that, I guess, the 2-year thing or whatever it is, or a year at least. But I'll talk to somebody. Literally, he says it's over 5 minutes sometimes before he opens up a browser and he's got it set to Google, or even when he switches, it might take 5 minutes or more for it to open up. And it's not on, I'm telling him, it's not on his side.
So. Right.
I told him to write everything down, like the times of days, the time of the day, you know, it's slow, and see if he can see some kind of pattern going on.
Oh, okay. You think it might be related to its
time of day. Well, DSL, don't you have your own node? Isn't it unlike, I believe, cable uses a shared node, right? Shake your head, Martin.
No, DSL is best effort, and so you will fluctuate up and down depending on how far you are away from your first hop. So if he's quite a ways away from the first or the closest junction, if you will, to him, he will see increased latency. But that does not excuse the fact of what's going on with whatever that is. And I'm curious if he's having a hard time, like when he first opens up, say, IE and the page takes a long time to load. What if he tries, you know, just another page or a blank page? Have him set IE to a blank page, and that way when he opens it and then from there try to go to another page, see if that latency is still there after IE is open.
Like open up with a blank page and then type in something else.
Exactly.
Now he's messing around with all three browsers.
Yeah, I'm just throwing out some ideas. Okay. From what you've said in the past regarding this, it also does not sound like him. I'd have him do some speed tests. That's not foolproof, because really you're only getting a short burst of, so you're not getting a.
He's doing that too.
You know, but, get those marked. Write it down.
He said for the first 2 or 3 weeks he didn't have a problem. He didn't have any problem, and now.
Yeah, if the baseline has been set and now it has decreased from that baseline from what he currently has, then there is definitely a problem. You know, he can run JRT on his system just to see if there's anything else.
We already did all that.
I was gonna say
clean everything up before he got that.
Yeah, that'll reset his IE. It definitely sounds like it's an ISP issue. And if it's DSL, then there may be something along the lines of, you know, it's phone lines. And depending on if it's above ground or underground, if there's water or, you know, weather-related stuff, it could degrade that.
You know how they give you filters for your phones? They only gave him one. He needs to get one for the other phone. Would that affect the internet?
No.
I don't think so. It only affects the phone.
Right. The filters are for the phone. The filters are not for the internet.
Okay. Very good. I don't know, Tim. I don't know if you had any experience with any of your customers with DSL and you had to help them out or call Verizon or anything.
I got to say, it's really minimal. I don't know if it's the market or what locally, but... like 99% of my experience is Comcast, it's cable here, and I don't know if that's just the nature of the service. You know, it's, I mean, locally here, I can't even get DSL where I'm at. I'm actually too far out from the nearest
switching station.
Yeah, however, that's, I can't remember the Yeah, I'm like 6,000 feet or something.
Because it really sucks. I mean, you know, in a Comcast modem, you don't have to do anything. That one, a DSL router, it's a whole different story. You gotta have to put their personal password, and you know, you have that password just to get into it, then their personal password. And you know, a couple years ago, this customer, well, actually it was a friend of mine's sister. She had Verizon DSL, but she didn't have wireless. She bought a wireless router, and everybody's telling me, you know, you need to put it in bridge mode. A lot of people were, instead of just using a different IS, you know, just changing the IP on it, which is what I eventually did. But I'd done cleared everything out, reset it, thinking I was put it in bridge mode. And of course, they didn't know their password. So I had to call them up. We had to reset everything. And, you know, long story short, I could have just used a different, IP address on that thing. It would have been done with it, you know, outside of the range of the Verizon modem thing. So anyway.
Yeah, no, it's similar situation. I was called into a business where the cell modem had failed or was failing, and I had to get with their tech support, test it out, and you know, I ran down. I think I was able to just run down the Staples down the street and grab one, got them back online. But you know, configuring that and setting it up, it really is a far different experience than having a cable modem. Wasn't straightforward. I suppose that my experience is with those, it just isn't so much. If I had some more, I probably would have thought so much of it. But setting it up and getting it going, it took quite a bit more than just the cable. So I guess it's just my local market. The DSL is poor. That the, you know, Comcast is it's relatively inexpensive for what you're getting. And once again, locally, we Comcast took over this area. They restrung new cabling throughout, so it's kind of DSL is kind of a tough sell, and there's no fiber, so right. Pretty much if you're looking for fast and relatively expensive high speed internet, you know, that's what you're looking for. So, however, I'll tell you what, an alternative is you know, these Wi-Fi type devices from Verizon Wireless. I've dealt with some more of these, and of course, all the carriers have their own, but I have seen those become more popular. I think it has once again to do with my region. I'm like 10, 15 minutes from anything you could name, but you know, once you get off the freeway and you know, go a couple miles, which is you know, basically where I live, you think that you're much more rural area. So it doesn't take much to get off the beaten path, and so you know, a number of my customers, they live far enough off the road where Comcast wants some awful amount of money to actually string cable
right
out to their house and this right sort of thing. And so that, you know, I have a couple of customers that they have looked at it. It's been an excellent alternative. It's obviously, you know, you do have a data cap and you have to watch that. Speeds, yeah, it's of course, it's always depending on your wireless, or I'm sorry, your cell signal, which I know where I'm at seems to wax and wane, but and these people love them. You know, it suits them. They're not using a ton of data, and they can take it with them on the road. So you know, they have their high speed internet wherever they go. So
yeah, case in point, a lady I work with, she got a service like that, and she bought a wireless printer. So she brought her Verizon router, the Wi-Fi, whatever it's called, and we hooked her wireless printer up to it. It took seconds. So.
Nice.
It is convenient. That's how my brother gets his, you know, he's a full-time RVer, so he's on the road all the time.
Okay, cool.
And that's how he gets his internet. So he's got that cap. He's got to be careful. So
it's perfect for that.
Right, right. Now, a lot of places he stays, they do have Wi-Fi, but, it, you know, depending on where he's, you know, what spot he has to park at, it's usually not too good. So I can't do a lot of Skyping with him because of that. We do Voxer occasionally.
And you know, when he's carrying his own, you know, internet connection, I suppose, quote unquote, he's not reliant on whatever speeds they're offering, you know, whatever the signal strength is, and whatever security may or may not be in place. You know, he knows that, you know, his connection is secure. And I had not really considered that, but that's a fantastic alternative for people who do the thing. There's a lot of free. Well, you know, and to the over-the-road truckers, too. I think that that would be...
Right. But there is a lot of spots where, you will get into dead spots.
Bad for the truckers, but probably... I would think that the goal of being an RV is sometimes to get yourself to that sort of place anyway, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where you're...
He's not like me. He's active. He's thin. And he's 5 years older. But he has less... But he's bald.
Oh, well, screw it. Yeah.
It's funny. Growing up, he was heavy and I was thin. Now the roles have changed.
Oh, gosh. All right. It doesn't matter that his shoulders don't hurt and that his wife doesn't beat him with the wire. Hey, he's got no hair, so you win, right?
Do you know what that movie is? What that saying, that phrase is from what movie?
What saying is that?
No more wire hangers. Don't you know that?
No. What is that from?
Joan Crawford story. I forgot the exact name of the movie, but that's what it was about. Because she used to hit her daughter with wire hangers. Or no, it was something about no wire hangers. Martin's looking real.
Mommy Dearest.
Mommy Dearest.
That's I never saw that.
It's an old movie.
I'm going to go on record saying I'm opposed to striking people with wire hangers.
I might have it backwards, but I think she did hit her, but not with the. She just said, don't use no more. I forgot exactly. It's been a long time. But that phrase came from that movie. No more wire hangers. Wow. Ever since I said that, everybody's dropping out of the chat room. Now.
Difference of opinion.
You've been busy?
I have not. It's just terrible. I sometimes wonder why I'm even here. It's been a terrible winter, terribly sick, just been so slow. And it's been a lot of the routine. Once again, thank goodness for the routine. It gets us through when been like being challenged, which I have not felt like being challenged, but I'm ready to be challenged. I mean, people bring it.
Did you ROM your phone?
No. However, that's part of actually why my Voxer is now commissioned. I did get everything backed up, saved off there. I started removing some applications that I felt like just out of a curiosity. I feel like it was a chance to, it's just kind of a good chance. You know, the whole inner workings of the Android operating system are still very much a mystery to me. So, I kind of just started messing around in the file system, I started just looking around in there, poking around. Just kind of an opportunity. I feel like I couldn't really break it since I am going to do a factory reset. You know, I mean, this is the opportunity. Yeah. So, and I did find.
Were you able to download anything that I sent you off of my Google Drive?
Which I didn't make any progress on that at all.
Did you try?
I didn't even try.
Okay, because it might have not been working.
I haven't stuck my toe in that water yet. I really hoped that I had done that by now, but it's just been.
So I think it's been 3 weeks almost. I'm telling you, and it's I'm not having any. Once in a while, I got to reboot it. Seems like sometimes the connection at work is not as good as it should be, and if I reboot it, because I don't turn my phone off, I keep it on most of the time, and then it's usually fine. But other than that, it's been rock solid. I mean, I just can't believe how good it's been in the last.
Well, I'm really drooling over the prospect of doing it. I can't wait to do that. I have a couple of these here that are broken that, I set and I did everything and I feel like they just run so well. They're so solid. I'm like, why am I putting up with this nonsense? It's just time to do the reset. And then, to install the ROM without all the ancillary garbage that comes with it. I really hope to do that tonight. So I'll let you know. I mean, if I can't download it, I'll definitely let you know, but that definitely hasn't been like a sticking. So.
Yeah, it's probably better to go to, if you get the information on my, I think I put a text file in there for the website to go to for CyanogenMod. Oh, I think I said it right. Because they have updates like almost every day. So you want to get the most recent one for, I forgot what I called this, there's a code name for Spider, for the Razor. So you want to, go to CyanogenMod and look for, Motorola Razor, and it's called CyanogenMod 11, and it's got like Spider in the name, and that's the one you would want. But they come out. I use Nightly, and they come out night. Well, I don't know if it's Nightly, but It was very easy. If I can do it, you know, a caveman could
do it. No, I wouldn't think that at all. Same time, just, you know, knowing somebody who's done it, they've been successful, and especially when, you know, you had success right out of the gate. That's very encouraging.
Yeah, and I didn't think I was, because this is, it's a kind of a dead, you know, it's an older phone now. And so, you know, like, they're not, you know, interest is not very, you know, a lot on this phone now because of all their newer phones. That's why I was a little hesitant, because I had the latest update and I didn't see it. I wasn't sure if I could use it for this latest version number, but the CyanogenMod said it could be any 912 XT 912 phone, which is what this is. And I'm assuming yours is on that. And so it worked.
And I had always thought that this was something I was going to do, and I started reading into it. And of course, this was probably a year or so ago. Support was minimal for this device, but part of that was just because Motorola does not build a device that lends itself to this sort of thing, software-wise. And then hardware-wise, nice thing about the Samsungs is that if something horrible happens, you can pull the battery or whatever. And this is a sealed device. The battery is not meant to be user replaceable. So I was very interested to hear that you had done that. So, and I just, yeah, I can't
wait. I mean, my main reason, I was afraid to brick it. And so the reason why I did it now, because it's going to be, my contract's up in a couple months anyway. So, but even when I did my Droid X, I never messed that up. So
mine's up in 12 days. I just.
Oh, the hell it is. Mine, I still got until May 20 something.
So, I don't know.
Are you haven't decided?
I'd like to. I don't know. I don't want to spend the money.
Are you grandfathered in with unlimited data on your plan? Or you're not? See, I am. So if I get a new phone with them, I'm definitely going to lose it, unless I pay outright for a phone. I think, but I, you know, I'm still thinking about going with getting a cheap phone from Virgin Mobile, an Android, and for $35 a month, because I use it so little as a phone.
Right.
And I don't need nothing good. I can still use this at rent a house on Wi-Fi. And we're thinking about going to Ting.
Oh, wait, what is
Ting,
that?
You never heard of Ting? It's pay as you go. They have a service that depends on how much you use a month for a phone or text or data. And it could change every month depending on what you use. And yeah, T-I-N-G. You never heard that?
No, but it's mobile, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it works off the Sprint network, and they got it.
Do you know anybody that has this?
I think I do. Not offhand, but I know people using it. Martin probably knows some people that are using it. But let me post the.
No, I don't know anybody who's using Ting right now. I know
You know of it.
Yeah, I've heard of it. It's you know, the whole pay as you go is becoming more and more popular now. That and because of that, you see AT&T and all of these other major carriers switching over to that yearly plan. You know, to upgrade. I think they're trying to keep in the same market and trying to keep fresh and new with everything. I don't know. You know, I know Cody has researched a whole lot. You know, Cody Cooper has researched a whole lot regarding mobile devices and stuff. But I've always just had a standard plan. I have never gone with the pay as you go type stuff.
If you look at that, Tim, I posted in the chat room there, the rates, you can get an idea what they depending on what you use.
I'm here already. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah. I think, well, now Cody, am I wrong? I think he got a Nexus 5 and he's using it on, is it T-Mobile? And that's a no contract type thing, a monthly thing, you know. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he did get the Nexus 5. Because he said something on Boxer a while back. And, you know, I think T-Mobile, I don't understand why. You know, when I do a coverage check out here, it says it's only 2G. Yeah, and they use this, I think they use a Sprint backbone, just like Virgin Mobile. Yet when I do a Virgin Mobile test, I get all kinds of good, you know, coverage here. So I don't quite understand that if they're using the same network. So seems like, and then there's Boost is good out here too, and they have a better selection of phone than Virgin Mobile. But they're, you know, you're going to pay, if you want to get a decent phone, you're going to pay $300 or more. Or if you want to get a top of the line, you know, newer type phone. I don't want to do that. And the phone I'm looking at on Virgin Mobile is just a dual core LG what is it, FG7 or FG3, I can't remember exact. And it's got some respects to mine, but lower onboard storage. But for $35 a month, I'm going to give it a shot, I think. See, with Ting, what I'm afraid of, if I switch to Ting, I might use it too much 1 month, and it's going to be over, you know, like $35 for sure, or $40 or whatever. So I got choices.
Is this a good option for, you know, if you have kids that you know?
I don't know. See, with Ting, you can use a lot of data. I mean, you can use as much as you want, but you're going to pay for it. That's the only thing I don't like. If I get Virgin Mobile, I'm going to get those top-up cards, $35 a month. If I don't get another card in 30 days, it's going to stop working. Ting, they're going to pay for it. You're going to get billed for whatever you use, and I just might use a lot that 1 month. So that, to me, it wouldn't be good for a type of family plan. If you follow what I'm saying.
I do. I mean,
you're going to pay for what you use. If it's a little or if it's a lot, you're still going to, whereas if I get it's just $35 a month, and then I just got to get another card after 30 days with Virgin Mobile. Now I might hate it and say, oh, this sucks, and I might wind up going back with Verizon. So, but I might give it a shot.
I hate this crap. I mean, it's like buying insurance, or it's buying a car. I mean, it's so complicated. I don't want to hear about how. Well, no, it's about options, Tim. You're just being a jerk.
If you got the money, too much.
It's all too complicated, and in the end, it's all one big screw.
I'm on an older age. My wife is retired. We're trying to save money, and we literally have to, She's retired. If she was still working a full-time job, I'd probably just get a new phone. But she's not. She's working a part-time job. Plus, she's getting her Social Security. But it's still not. She's still and working part-time. She's still not making what she made when she worked full-time. So I'm trying to cut back. I'm going to probably do some stuff with Comcast. Is going to raise my bill after April 28th because I'm on some kind of deal with them right now. So that's going to go up a bit. So I might have to cut things back on there. We want to retire. In 3 years, I can retire. But financially, I don't know. And we talked about moving south. But I'm still, it's up in the air. I mean, we have a buddy of mine. Actually, I haven't seen him in a while, but we did a Google Hangout Sunday. And he lives in Hudson, Florida. And he bought it's an older section, but a 3-bedroom house. And it looked nice, from what I could see, it looked nice for $44,000. $44,000. You're not going to get nothing like that up here. Not where I live.
I say just give up. Just quit.
No. Well, quit my job now? I thought of
it. It's not worth it. Well, it's location.
A lot of people work. A lot of people worry about their insurance and everything. My brother, he's 5 years older than me. He quit his job 6-7 years ago. Him and his wife sold their house, bought the truck and the RV, and they've been doing it ever since. And they don't have insurance. They don't have insurance, medical insurance. But thank God, knock on wood, you know, they haven't had to use it for anything major. I'm afraid to take that chance because I got pretty.
That's
good
definitely insurance. Rolling the dice.
Right. Especially the older you are, and you're going to really need it. Now, with this Obamacare, I don't have a clue what I don't understand, and I don't trust it.
Oh, man, you really want to open that can of worms?
No, okay. I don't. That's why I don't even want to talk about it. But you know me, like you're opened up with, hey, Tim, you know, my shoulder had to operate on 2 years ago. It's killing me again, you know. I think I need medical insurance.
I agree. I think anybody that's listened to the show for any amount of time knows that not just you, but everybody should have something in place. Just to be responsible. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm interested if you make any progress on the pay as you go. I'm always interested in. I mean, there's no. You apologize for trying to save some money. I mean, obviously, just being fiscally responsible. I mean, it's a prudent thing to do. But on the other hand, I like to save money because if I have money left over, I can buy steaks instead of hamburgers. I mean, there's no apology.
Yeah. Right?
So, Yeah. Make any progress on that? No.
I'm always. I mean, my wife says, "Well, I've been on Andrew. I've been on with Verizon for 4 years at around say around $70 a month." She goes, she adds everything up. Just think what you could have done with that money. Because I went from actually I was with Virgin Mobile before, and I had it wasn't a smartphone. It was one of the cheap little phones. I got a card, and the minutes would roll over it, and it averaged out to be like I don't know, like less than $8 a month because you get it.
Really?
Oh, well, probably less than that because you had to get a card every 90 days. And it was only $20 for a card. So it's like, you know, it's crazy. Like $80 a year and the minutes would roll over, which you didn't use technology.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, anyway, that's too much. Hey, you know, Martin, you posted something fascinating here to me about the Crypto Locker. I mean, there's a, I was looking this over. Is fascinating. There has been some information here about the crypto, about actually, you know, what, because that was the thing. It was like, we know what it does. We kind of know how to stop it, but, you know, whatever. But what will the impact be? And you want to cover this? You want me to hit it up? You're going to be a bit more familiar with this article than me.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Sophos came out with an article that says 1 in 30 have been hit by the crypto locker, and that 40 of them have paid the ransom.
40%.
But
that's amazing.
40% of the people have paid the ransom. And, I mean, I've known, you know, not personally known, but, you know, heard through friend of a friend of somebody who has been hit by the crypto locker who had paid the ransom and then got their data back.
Okay.
And then I personally know people who have, you know, been hit by it. You know, and then said, no, we're not going to pay the ransom, and they count it as a loss. But this article is really interesting. It's a study by University of Kent, which is interesting because my wife and I were just talking about Kent University the other day. Now, I'm not sure if it's the same. Actually, I'm not sure if it's the same university at all. this may be a university in the United Kingdom. But if you go down the article a little bit, it's really interesting. It says, I'm going to read this straight from the article. It says, other data picked up by the survey seems to be fairly predictable. Around two-thirds of us feel at risk from cybercrime. Just over 1 in 4 have been the victim of some sort of cyber-dependent crime in the last year, with malware 11.9% and phishing 7.3% of the main culprits. 1 in 10 have been exposed to online bullying, harassment, or stalking. And it says 9.7% of people claim they've been infected by ransomware of some kind, with Crypto Locker specifically being named in the survey question and making up around a third of all reported infections. So I thought this was just a really interesting article that talks about how, you know, people are becoming more aware of viruses and malware. And not only that, but the names are sticking. You know, before Crypto Locker came out, we had the ransomware, the FBI virus, and it's the one that, you know, that we've all probably seen or had people have, we've talked about, even joked about, or the one that says, hey, your computer's infected with child porn, or, hey, you've done this or you've done that. And the one that sticks to my mind is the one that was the fake virus that says, hey, this person was infected with this, and he had done that, and he turned himself in, which I don't know if you guys remember that story. But what's interesting about this is that people are now kind of, you know, this is not, I mean, it's not a huge response of people. I mean, we're not talking, a lot of people are going, oh yeah, I know this, but people are becoming more aware, because if they can name, yes, we have been involved, we have been, you know, we've seen malware, we've seen ransomware, we've seen Crypto Locker, then, you know, education is what's gonna solve a lot of this, because a lot of this is just people clicking and just getting infected, and a lot of it is, you know, some of it is ignorance, and some of it is phishing, and phishing can happen to any of us, tech or not. You just gotta look close to the signs, and things are getting really, really good, and people are able to you know, trick people into getting infections. And so I think you know, the big thing that I've taken, like I said, I've taken away from this article, it's a pretty good article. It goes on for a little bit talking about firewalls and things like that. It definitely doesn't paint a a good picture. It paints statistical information that allows us to say we're getting better, but we're not great. It does go on to talk about, like I said, firewalls, and it only says that only a third of people have firewalls. So even if you're using just the Microsoft firewall, leave it on. Is it perfect? No, but is it, you know, because, you know, this is another topic we can get to on another day about, you know, wanted traffic versus unwanted traffic, you know, but it's better than nothing. So I just thought this was kind of a fascinating article, and hopefully that through education we can keep people informed and they can be smarter and make smarter decisions about what links they choose and click on.
It's amazing how many, at least in this study, how many had actually paid the ransom. I mean, 40%. That's incredible. I would imagine that some number of that 40% were, I would mention these were business people. They made a calculated decision. They just paid it. I wonder how many were people that were like the guy that turned himself in. I mean, they just paid it because they felt like that's just what they had to do, understanding the consequences of doing that. That's amazing. And is there any indication as to what the source of this thing is? Where is the money going? I mean, is this the Russian mob or what?
No, but that's one of the double-edged swords of Bitcoin, is that it's supposed to be anonymous. There has to, I mean, you can't, it's hard to really be truly anonymous on the internet. So it's not a matter of, I don't think it's a matter of if, it's a matter of when this will all come down. One of the things that this report did mention is that it only covered 1,500 UK adults. And I'm not sure if UK stands for United Kingdom or if UK stands for University of Kent. But really, 1,500 people is not a very big number. So I think over the years, I'm hoping to see this increase. I'd like to see a huge sampling of people rather than just 1,500. Unfortunately, that's pretty small, and that may not paint the whole picture. And I think the more people that get surveyed on this, definitely the higher numbers. I thought, you know, phishing at 77.3% and malware was 11.9%. I found that to be very, very low. And I think that has to do with just the pool that it was taken from. But as far as the Bitcoins go and who is CryptoLocker and what, you know, what is all that? Right now, nobody knows. Like I said, I don't think that's going to be, I don't think it's a matter of if, I think it's a matter of when. Now that could be a year, 3 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. You know, I don't expect it to go 50 years, but at some point, somewhere, somebody will figure this out and find it and, you know, just go like that. I mean, if you look at things like the Stuxnet virus hit, people were, you know, who does this? Where did it come from? And years later, it came out, oh, it was the, you know, United States military along with the Iranian military or the Egyptian military or some other, you know, it was our nation versus with another nation doing something else. You know, it's just a matter of time.
You know, just education, obviously, is always the big thing. I mean, nobody's going to pick your pocket if your wallet is, or if you're wearing a money belt, or if it's stuck in your front pocket or something like that. So I found it very, very interesting. I don't know if you guys are fans of the show Justified, but in it was either the last episode, like last week or two, so that it actually, the show actually started with a guy coming in, shows his laptop to, where he had been funds. I think his funds. He was complaining his funds had been seized by the U.S. Marshal Service, and the show centers around U.S. Marshal agent. And he turned the laptop around and he showed him. And the laptop screen, it looked just like the FBI virus. And he showed him. He said U.S. Marshal has one L in it. And so seeing some of the FBI virus where it's actually become relatively new and almost funny. A year or so ago, a year and a half ago, so silly. But it's actually mainstream enough where it was now written into the show and people. So I thought that was pretty interesting. You guys watch that show, Justified?
No, but I watch. It's, I think, I forgot which network it's on, but it's on the same network that does Bates. Oh, it's FX.
I think
wrong.
So.
Maybe I'm thinking about American Horror. It was on a, yeah, maybe that. Maybe that's where, because I would see the previews for it all the time when I was watching like American Horror, which is all for the season. But I was thinking it was on the same network that does Bates Motel, which is another pretty good show based on the movie Psycho.
Okay, it's okay. All right, I got you. Serious based on that show, that movie.
Right, right. It's but it's done in modern times, and it's a weekly series. It's on. It just started again for the second season. It's good. It's good.
Today is Patch Tuesday.
Yep.
What the heck is this? There's actually a Microsoft patch for Mac users. Is that right? Is that what I'm looking at? Oh no, that's what I got the headline. Is that what,
no,
is that,
yeah.
What is that? I mean, is that like a Microsoft product that's like Office or something running on a Mac? Or
I would assume so. This is going to affect IE 6 through 11. So Windows, IE, and Silverlight. So I don't know if this is a Silverlight on a Mac issue or if this is an Office on a Mac issue. I don't know. let me see. It must be the Mac because it says Microsoft Developer Tools and Software Silverlight. So that must be the only thing I can think of that is on that. All the rest are listed as Microsoft products.
Bless you.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, so it's Internet Explorer. So make sure our updates are in place. As always, typical. It's like, a couple critical, a few important, same old, same, all right. And of course, we're asking you for more updates there. So not exactly a whole lot new in the world of security. And as a matter of fact, the whole watching by what's in the news, there is not. Actually, it's always good because I like searching this up and not seeing the whole world caving in on me. Headlines. Let me see the headlines.
Well, you know, Adobe just released another Flash update today. So, keep up to date with your Flash, guys. They got to get this under control. It seems like weekly they're releasing some kind of a Java or some kind of a Flash update. And, I'm really kind of looking forward to when they kind of get rid of Flash and start moving over to a lot of like HTML5 stuff, which will, you know, can run things like YouTube over HTML5. You don't necessarily need Flash to do a lot of videos, which would mean then that's going to open up a whole new a whole new world as far as so iPhones can't run Flash, but they can run HTML5. So if you run things over HTML5, you know, you're looking at more videos for mobile devices, easier way to do all that stuff. So if you have Flash, you can update it. You just go to you can just go to the Adobe Download Center, or there'll be a link in the show notes where you can go and get your latest version of Adobe Flash. But the latest version is looks like it's 12.0.0.77 is the latest one. And oh my goodness, oh wait, yeah. So currently, probably if you're running 12.0.0.70, update to 12.0.0.70, and if you're running Mac Flash, you can update that as well. So just update everybody.
Got anything else cooking? I tell you what,
what has me? They have that missing airliner out of Malaysia. I think that's quite that's very concerning. Where they don't have any clue where it is. That, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? The when was it? When did it go off? Friday or something? I forget when it was. Or Monday? No. I think the last contact was with, they were going over Vietnam. But there's, they get some goofy posts on Facebook. They got it was abducted by aliens. There's a picture of a flying saucer in the plane. But that's strange. I mean, the only thing I think I read, it had two Iranian 19-year-olds on there with fake passports. But they think they were just going, I think it was going, the plane was going to Beijing. But they were going there for a political asylum. Why would you go there for a political asylum or something like that? I mean, I don't quite understand all the facts, or I haven't read everything. But
yeah, some stuff came out today where they were talking about how it was way off course. It was flying a lot lower than it was. There's nothing in here that says, and I'm looking at a CNN article that talks about really. They're looking at all possibilities. They're not ruling out anything, of course. It didn't sound like that the people who had the fake passports, you know, nothing flagged them as
hijackers.
Yeah, hijackers or anything. But, you know, of course, they can't rule anything out at this time. But they did notice it was way off course and it was flying a little low. And so here, if you go to the CNN, their homepage, they've got a big article about it and a thing. It would, you know, kind of a slideshow. But it was way south of Vietnam already, or I guess is that south of Vietnam? I can't figure my geometry. Well, the way they're showing the picture of the world, I don't know if it's flipped or not, but, you know, so.
Now this beacon, which is it on all the time? Was it turned off? I mean, that's from, now I'm quoting this guy I work with. He read something saying that it was deliberately turned off, which I don't know nothing about that. Here's where a good discussion. If Fred was in here, he could really elaborate on this.
This really is a crazy story. It's a Boeing 777. Those things don't just disappear.
Yeah, I don't think it's a little plane.
Yeah, 239 people on board. Last known contact 40 minutes after takeoff, and signal for the plane was lost. And since then, there's some issue. They don't know where they're looking. They're amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it goes on to talk about this, the same article in CNN. It goes on to talk about how in 2009, Air France flight took off and it just disappeared as well over the Atlantic. And it took 5 days before stuff started to come up. And then it took about, you know, 2 years before they found the bulk. It says, and it was nearly 2 years before investigators found the bulk of the French plane's wreckage and the majority of the bodies of the 228 people on board, just about 12,000 feet below the surface of the ocean. So, you know, if this plane did crash, you know, it has into the water, it could, you know, we're just now getting to that 5 day mark where things are going to find, they already seen an oil slick. But yeah, really, like you said, Mitch or Tim, 777s just don't disappear.
I mean, they're wrecked.
Yeah, and this definitely would be a great, you know, something Fred can, you know, hopefully next week he can join us and maybe give us a little bit of information on this about how, you know, emergency beacons work and, you know, can you turn them off and, you know, do some, you know, everything I get, you know, you get from movies, you know, do they turn on? Are there special ones that turn on when they hit the water? Are there special ones that, you know, so.
That is an amazing story. I it's hard to imagine this ending well, but of course I certainly hope that it does. That's 239 souls on board. That is that's an awful.
You guys know anything about I heard this on another podcast about Radio Shack closing up 1,100 stores. I forgot to research it myself. I forgot about it. So you hear anything about that?
I just heard they were going to shut over 1,000 stores, and I don't know. I heard it suggested that many Radio Shack customers were very upset when they received that information on their pagers.
Pagers.
Radio Shack is a. It seems to me like if it was actually in the hands of geeks, it would like. It would be a successful store. I don't understand that store.
See, a lot of people think at one time it was.
And I think that, and I think that if you go back then, that's when it was successful. Like, you could actually go in and buy little bits of things that you could
stage to sell the computers there. And I wasn't into that computers at that time. And they got away. But you can still buy, like, you know, you can buy stuff to fix, you know, adapters. And actually, I was in mind, they were selling these Audio Technica mics there, believe it or not. But you can still get capacitors and stuff like a lot of cabling.
I mean, you can, but I can't remember the last time I went to a Radio Shack, actually looked forward to it, enjoyed the experience, and felt happy when I left. I mean, I may have felt some sense of satisfaction because I left with some strange part that I actually needed. But I really, that store is just, it's ridiculous. It's all overpriced. Retail, they sell stuff that you can get everywhere else cheaper and without giving. Why did they need my phone number? It goes back to the thing, you know, with
sign. That's right.
Don't need mine. So
you're right about that.
And I'll tell you what, very often when I do need some component that I would feel that Radio Shack should carry, it ends up being something that they don't end up doing having. I mean, they have all the basic switches and you know, and the jet power, you know, power jacks and that sort of thing. They have been very good for that sort of thing. But whenever I do need some component, something kind of somewhat unique, I ended up having to order it anyway. And if you're going to go to the website, you're probably going to order from some different website, DigiKey or some other place anyway. So, you know, I hope that you know, closing these number of stores, I hope that's part of a much bigger plan to make that store relevant.
Well, I was listening to, I can talk about other podcasts here, right? Why not? Linux Link Tech Show. And Martin, you know, Joel's bringing up, why can't they have one of those 3D machines in there and people go in there and get parts made, you know, and, him and, Rich were talking about that. And, you know, you think about it, it might not be a bad idea, but then again, what about, you know, if you're making duplicate parts of something that you broke, you know, you got those copyright law or trademark laws and stuff like that. It's, you know, I don't know if I didn't finish listening to the episode yet, but there's going to be a fine line there too.
I suppose it'd be very easy to violate a patent.
Exactly. I didn't know the right terminology, but, yeah, I bet you it's going to be, if it does get as big as what they're thinking it's going to get, you know, someday, these 3D printers. Well, then again, I think we brought this up last week. Then again, you know, people make copy of movies and more copies of
and that's okay.
TV and all of that. Yeah. Well, I'm talking about if you make a copy of your own video, or if you had a Lego and you broke it, you needed to get another piece. What's wrong with that? You know, but somebody's gonna want to get their hand in your pocket. So,
well, anyway, I would like to think that the Radio Shack, this is part of some larger reorganization. They actually make the store relevant. I don't care if they sell all of the trinkets and overpriced cell phones and.
No, their phones, they're comparable, the same prices and everything. Yeah.
And all the toys. I mean, you're surrounded by the remote control toys. It's just, I don't know. It seems very silly and ultra retailed to me. I'd like to see some geeks get charged of it. But I don't know. Maybe this is just, they're just playing the Kmart game of closing stores every 5 years and then reopening tons more 5 years later and being, I don't know how Kmart.
See, I think back in the day, I guess you guys still remember tube TVs. They used to have, you can go in there. They would have these tube testers. You can or buy tubes there. I think that's, you know, that a lot of people, but it wasn't just them. I think we had a local store here called, Reed's, which is now it turned to Rite Aid. I remember as a kid, you could go in there. They would have those machines to test your tubes in your TV because it was when the old black and white TVs, the CRT TVs, you used to have tubes in them and, you could replace a tube. I'm not talking about the picture tube, just the different tubes.
The vacuum tubes.
Exactly. And, but if they're all, I guess Radio Shack's not really relevant these days. Like you're.
Well, and that's crazy. I mean, that's insane to me. I mean, technology's never been more important. The general populace has never been more geeky. And so what do? They cater to the lowest common denominator by selling these little remote control trinkets. And overpriced cables. Well, I can go to Best Buy and get that crap, or I can go to Toys R Us, and you know, it's like every time I go in there, everything seems super overpriced. They don't have what I want, I don't know. I just don't understand how this store. I don't know. It's almost as if it's just they have the wrong people in management. I could name 50 super geeky people who could take that store. I feel in 3 years, make it a place that geeks could just congregate.
That's exactly what they were. I think that the point was when what they were talking about on the Linux Link Tech Show. But you don't know for sure. Who knows? I mean, if you make it like an all computer geek store, like a Fry's or a Micro Center, yeah, for sure. But they're small stores. I mean, all Radio Shacks are not big stores. Like the Micro Center stores we have out here, well, the one out there by D.C. and one in Towson, Maryland, they're huge. I mean, they got everything in there. I was looking for something, and I forgot what I was there, and, you know what I was looking for? The internals, DVD drives in laptops, they don't have them. I was so surprised because they used to have local computer shows, and I would get them there. But that's one thing they do not have at a Micro Center. That, you know, they got the external ones, but I want to replace the one that's bad in my laptop, and I have to go online and get it.
It's second, but you know what? The Best Buy has, I don't know if this is by design or they're just last man standing, but there used to be a lot of options for buying electronics, computer components, and whatever. And it seems that now that they're like the last man standing, that they've made it difficult. I mean, it's like, I want to stick a RAM. Oh, we keep that behind the counter. Well, why would you do that? Why don't you put it out where I can look at it? I'm not going to steal it. You've got a guy that says hello to me on the way in. He says hello on the way back. It's like, we're buddies now. I'm not going to steal anything from him. It seems to me like the market's never been better for options. You know, I think it's time for, so especially since you have stores established across the country, that you can close 1,000 of them apparently, and probably not make a huge difference in your customers. Come on, start stocking some things. Have you ever gone in there and tried to buy something? If they do have it, I mean, the selection's limited. I'm talking about like computer components. I always feel like it's like when I'm standing there and I pick out something that I need, you know, hard drive or whatever, it's almost as if I can hear them saying, "You're only buying this because this is the only place you can get it, and we're about to give it to you good." And why does it have to be that way? Why does it have to be like, why can't this be a store that I want to go to? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Maybe it's about the place. Well, yeah, I just don't. It's not a place that I want to go to.
Best Buy is limited. I like to go to stores that have, like, they don't sell motherboards. No, they'll sell some computer components, memory, power supplies, video cards. But I mean, if you ever have a chance to go to a Micro Center, Tim, I'm telling you, you will be like a kid.
It's like
factory.
A Valhalla. I understand. I don't have any locally to me.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. Well, why Radio Shack? Why can't they just... great, yeah. Radio Shack, do it together. No, you're doing it to me.
I mean, they have the, you know, I do read the circulars every week for, you know, like Staples, Office Depot, Radio Shack, Best Buy. And they do have competitive prices for some things on sale. But overall, they don't have a whole lot, like you said. And, you know, I'll buy their cabling because they're close to me. But in a lot of cases, I can get it a lot cheaper online.
Well, anyway, let's start a grassroots effort, everybody. I mean, HP is a company that deserves to die. But Radio Shack, I say I don't feel that way toward Radio Shack. I feel like we should take it back. Like it belongs to us. Let's go take it back. So let's start a grassroots effort. Radio Shack needs to be the company that it needs. The time's never been better. The opportunity's never been greater. There's more opportunity for them to sell. Everybody else has been run out of town. I say, come on, the world's never been geekier. It's even cool. You can get hot chicks now when you're a geek. I say, let's take Radio Shack back.
I think they had didn't they have a successful ad during the Super Bowl? I forgot how it went, though. I think they played a Radio Shack ad.
Yeah, Radio Shack had the 80s ad where they had, like,
That's it.
Mary Lou Retton on, and that was actually a great, great ad. I think,
and now they're closing.
Now they're closing up. They spent all their money on that ad.
Well, they were going to close 1,500 stores, but with the success of that ad.
Well, I think I think that with the increase of internet, I have stacks of boxes behind me here that have computers, monitors, keyboard, mice. I got a couple computer deployments. I didn't have to leave my home. I bought them online. I knew what I was looking for. I bought them online. They showed up on my doorstep. I mean, I had to walk outside to get them off my doorstep and bring them back in. You know, Albertsons is buying Safeway. The parent companies are buying, you know, each other. So with the increase of the internet and the way that we can just go get stuff from the internet, if you know what you want and you know exactly what you're looking for, then you don't need to go to Radio Shack to buy it. You don't need to go to Fry's to buy it. You don't need to go to Micro Center. Now, I still visit my local computer store here. Sometimes I can get good prices, sometimes I can't. But a lot of times what I do is I will go buy something from them, hold on to it, or if the client doesn't need it, I can take it back. I could take it back. I could send it back to Amazon. It's more of a pain. But if I know exactly what this client needs, I can buy it from podnuts.com/Amazon for a lot cheaper at cost. Okay. Which means that it's more money in my pocket as a reseller of that item.
See, you see, you're doing that for your business. You need to save money. Me, I don't do this for a living.
But if every business does this, now all of a sudden, now you have all of these people doing exactly the same thing, and they're buying from Amazon. You know, Amazon prices are going, or stock is going up, while Radio Shack is going down. So you're talking exactly. virtual stores are going up while physical stores are going down. There is a trend there, whether it's supermarkets or whether it's, computer electronic stores. So the hobbyists would, including myself, I like to go to Fry's. Now, Fry's is a 40-minute drive for me. You know, I can be there and back in an hour or so, if I go a little faster than I'm supposed to.
That's the same thing with me, Micro Center. But there's something about having that in your hand right now. I'm going to go there. I'm going to get it right now.
Right.
Instead of ordering online, I got to wait a couple of days to get it.
Well, but with Amazon Prime, I don't have to. With Amazon Prime, I can get it tomorrow. So do I go ahead and try to schedule my time out to drive to Fry's? If I'm going through there, I'll stop by Fry's. It's halfway for Cody Cooper and I. We meet at Fry's. We wander around the store. We, chit chat. We BS. We, grab a soda and we wander around the store. It's a great place to go to socialize, to hold something in my hand. But if I'm not going to drive to Fry's to go get a stick of RAM or to go get a hard drive or to go get a wireless router, when I can order online in my undies and then pick it up outside, my house tomorrow, the next day.
It's going to cost me like a $10 round trip.
Exactly. It's more expensive for me. Yeah, it's more expensive for me to drive to Fry's than it is to pay the Prime cost spread out over a year.
You're right.
Now, is that good? Is it bad? It's a choice, But because it is a choice, you're going to see a decline in Radio Shack. You're going to start seeing a decline of what you can and cannot get from Best Buy, because they're not going to start carrying those things. Why, as a reseller, would Best Buy bring a whole bunch of stock in, and it just sits there, because eventually it becomes out of date and they got to eat the cost?
They have no soul.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be soulless.
No. You just explained away retail in business terms. I mean, Radio Shack is not a place that anybody should ever depend on, or Best Buy, or nobody in business should depend on retail stores for general everyday stock. But everybody has an emergency, a time where you got to get your hands on this part right now. And I would like to be able to just go to a place, put my hands on some stuff, pick it out.
Right. That's my point too. But if you guys are in business and you're as busy as you guys are, especially you, Martin, you need to use Amazon. It makes sense.
I agree. I mean, it's just for the bulk of it. So you're going to order every once in a while. I need a part right here.
I mean, you fix phones. You're not going to get your phone parts at Best Buy or.
I think Radio Shack is exactly the kind of place that should carry those types of components. I mean, really not asking them to keep very much. There is a company, I guess, that they have a store, hour and 15 minutes from here, that they do repairs of device repairs and whatnot. And you can't go there and buy the components, but
not what you get, what you pay for.
Oh my gosh, it's a spanking. I mean, the only reason I would ever go there is if it's to keep a customer. However, the parts are available, but the world's a confusing place. I guess. I'm throwing a towel. I'm taking my old vacuum tubes and moving to the new river. anyway.
By the way, I think we had a good show tonight. I never heard Martin talk so little.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm over here sniffling. If you watch the video, guys, you'll see me sniffling and sneezing and moving and aching and wiping my nose. And now my nose is all raw. Oh, I hate that.
I think you're a trooper for doing what you did do.
Now I need to go sit in a conference for my son. I mean, it's exciting. Your kids are, my son's going into ninth grade next year. And so it's a conference at the high school for, what to expect, what electives he can take and things like that. So, I'm excited to go, but at the same time, I'm just like, I'm kind of bummed because he's going into ninth grade. He's growing up. He's not my little boy anymore. And, So speaking of things of that nature, in 2 weeks, March 26th, I will be in Southern California. So we're going to decide what we're going to do about that. Maybe we may have Geeksters on a little earlier, but I'm going to Disneyland. So,
wow, are you really?
Yeah, kind of a last minute. Nice. My wife, we were going to look in May and things didn't happen. And then this all happened. Really, this happened last, probably Thursday or Friday. She called me up and she said, hey, they said I can have spring break off. Sunday morning, I bought tickets to, you know, the car, the hotel, I'm pricing out the tickets for the Disneyland. So flights and hotel and car has already been purchased for, and we're going to be leaving Tuesday morning. And it's only about a 2 hour flight. The kids are excited for one, for going back to Disneyland. It was 3 years ago we went, and two, because they get to go on a plane again. And I was telling Mitch just before the show, so I come back on Saturday the 29th, and then Thursday night, the next Thursday night, Cody Cooper and I fly to Delft. So it'll be a week in between. I'm going to be on two planes, and people love sitting next to me in a plane. I'm that one guy who you go, oh man, I hope he doesn't sit next to me. Not that I'm stinky or anything like that. It's just, I'm a bigger guy. And I'm like, hey there, other big guy. why, you know, if the plane seems to tilt this way, no, just kidding.
Jeez.
But no, I agree. It was a good show tonight. So if people want to get a hold of him, Tim, how can they do that?
Tim Bauermeister from G Plus, and like Tim in the Podnuts forums. I'm left Tim at Real PC.
Nice. We didn't get any emails this week, but hopefully next week people will send us some more emails. And Mitch, how can they do that?
Leave us a voicemail, which we haven't had one in a long time. 706 Podnut. That is 706 Podnut. And you can email me at geeksters@podnuts.com or any of us too.
Yeah, we are.
And come on, do it, man. We need it. And then buy all your goodies at amazon.com/podnuts.
Yeah, I've been placing quite a bit of orders through there. And so I know I definitely have. And we want to thank everybody who, you know, supports the Podnuts Network, who comes out and hangs out with us on Tuesdays. And, you know, there's so many people, and, you know, that I recognize, you know, after a while you start recognizing the same names and, over and over again. And so it's a pleasure to be able to hang out with people on Geeksters, you know, Tuesdays with Geeksters and Thursdays with Linux for the rest of us. And then there's the Podnuts meetup show. And it's nice seeing all of these names. And I look forward to seeing, all of you at some point along the way, you know, in the future. And I don't know. That's my little sappiness there for the end of the show.
I agree.
If you want to get a hold of me, it's martin@obandocomputing.com. I'm Maskill in the forums and sometimes in the chat. I mean, I'm Maskill in the chat and sometimes in the forums, the other way around. But you can always get a hold of me. I'm all over the place. I'm that guy who is everywhere and nowhere at the same time. Except late for dinner. I don't think I've ever been late for that. Never. All right, guys, thanks for coming out and joining us and hanging out with us this Tuesday. And we'll see you next fiscal week. Bye, guys.